Reading from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 7, text 85. Om Ajnanat Timurandas Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Still setting myself up here. Kriko Yabhyas Shadevi Vir Etat Evanumoditam Satya Jitti Paramana Geham Tad Asaha Vishat. Uddhava said, the other queens all agreed, only Satyabhama, Satyajiti, unable to tolerate those words, entered her chamber of anger. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Taksurimulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Paragiyud Bhakti Visampiyatnai Apayama Manabipsamandam Kripambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumatsuyami Pisha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. I just came out here today after my evening class, with Borijan Prabhu. Of course, I'm leaving back to America in about a week or a little bit more than a week, and we wanted to come out here to Govardhan and spend some time. So we'll spend two nights here and visit Parthasarathi Goswami, have lunch, spend the afternoon with Shamdas, go to Radhakund, Govardhan, and just try to absorb the atmosphere here. Vrindavan has been wonderful. I have to say that in response to the passing away of Vyendra Prabhu, so many people that were inspired by him have come to Vrindavan, and the kirtans have literally been off the charts. I actually go now twice a day. After my morning program, I sit in the kirtan between 9 and 10, and the evening between 5:30 and 6:30. I really do think some of the best kirtans in the world, really just wonderfully inspiring, and it creates such a community spirit, you know, people joining together, and very powerful. Okay, now we'll get to the story of where we are. Before I begin to tell the story, I'm going to express a little bit of my caution or apprehensions, even in preparing this. Excuse me, I'm just something in my throat. The apprehension, of course, is communication. The truth is here. But will the truth be understood? Even by me, or to speak of me trying to communicate it. Because this is Krishna's, in the culmination of this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in Narada Muni's search for the topmost devotees. And who is the topmost devotee? It's the devotees whom Krishna opens his heart to the fullest, and therefore experience the beauty of God to the maximum degree. They say, I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling in South India, and he's traveling to Vrindavan actually, and he stops in Varanasi, and he meets two of his disciples who are very happy to see him, because Varanasi is the seat of impersonalism, and they even felt that this is actually bad karma to be here. It's my parabdha karma, what have I done, to be in a place where there are few devotees. But, and one of the Brahmins in that place, he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he sees his effulgence and beauty. And there's a certain beauty that's connected to the heart that is the epitome, or the epitome of beauty. It's the ultimate beauty when there's a connection between form and heart. Even in this world, there can be a beautiful woman or a handsome man, but if their heart is full of lust and selfishness, the beauty is compromised. But if you have a handsome man or a beautiful woman and their heart is selfless and loving, and that heart is reflected in their smile, it brings beauty to the ultimate degree. In the spiritual realm, the heart, the form is a manifestation of the heart. The desire to please, the loving spirit, creates the form. And therefore we see in a very advanced spiritual personality, there's a beauty, there's an effulgence. So this Brahmin, he saw the effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, plus the fact that he had all the physical characteristics of the of a great personality, Ajanu Lambita Bujo. His hands were very long near his knees, Kanikavi Taro, and his complexion was golden, Kamalaya Taksho, and very, very beautiful lotus eyes. And the Brahmin, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he witnessed the prema or love that guided his activities. So it's not just that prema creates the form. Prema creates the movements. And therefore, one who has a humble mood in the presence of such a form and movement created by the heart of pure, the pure heart of a Mahabhagava, his mind will be attracted by the experience of prema or love that one feels in such association. And therefore he went back to Prakasananda Saraswati and told him what he had seen, and then expressed to Prakasananda Saraswati, who is the chief of the Mayavadis, that this person who's exhibiting this form and these actions of praying and these emotions of praying, his tears, his dancing, his loud singing, that this person, I think, according to Shastra, he must be Mahabhagavat. He must be the great soul. And Prakasananda Saraswati replied, you're just a fool. He's Bhavuka. He's just sentimental. He's Bhavuka. He's just sentimental. And the people are influenced not by spiritual potency, by magic or hypnotism. And then, of course, this Brahmin was so influenced, and that gave him such shraddha or faith. Faith is an experience of the eternal nature of the soul, which arises in contact with divine or things in connection with the divine. That's where faith and bhakti comes. Of course, the guidance to experience that comes through Shastra. So the experience also gives one faith in Shastra. But the power of that association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His beauty and His actions and His emotions awakens the eternal nature of the soul, which is to love and serve God. And therefore, even though Prakasananda Saraswati, who is the chief of the Mayavadis, the impersonalist, criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it didn't influence this Brahmin, and he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I guess some people don't like that I make disclaimers, but I got lost here. I hope you enjoyed the story. I guess just, you know, traveling from Vrindavan to Govardhan, it's a kind of mode, or maybe a little bit passionate here. But let me get back to the point I was making. My caution is that, I was going to say that we filter things through our experience. And unless there's sufficient experience of bhava, bhakti, some deep emotion, spiritual emotion, we will filter the intimate expressions of love between Radha and Krishna through our own frame of reference, which is mundane. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, which presents the intimate love of Radha and Krishna. It's done in the 10th canto. After 9 cantos that give one the understanding and realization to detach one from sense gratification and to free one from misconception. And attachment and misconception go hand in hand, because attachment creates misconception, because we see what we want to be true, not necessarily what is true. If the truth challenges our attachments, so generally, you know, the Bhagavatam is studied in that way, and the consciousness is purified. And as the spiritual process works and faith grows, the revelation and understanding and experience of the eternal nature of the soul, then one tends to view the pastimes of Radha and Krishna through the nature of the soul, which is a mood of seva bhav, an experience of service and love and devotion. And therefore, when viewing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, what one sees is what one experiences in the soul, which is love and devotion, not what one has experienced through the senses in relationship to those forms, which is selfishness and lust. The experience that I would have is something like, Vrindavan and going on parikram and, when you go and you go to those places and you hear those pastimes, but the experience of Vrindavan infuses the heart with such a high degree of seva bhav. He's writing here with Bhurijam Prabhu, you know, I myself, I have to be frank, I'm thinking of spending more and more time in Vrindavan as I get older. Sooner. That's what I really feel. Not just for service, because the service here is just, I think, is where I can really be most effective. Just so many people are coming to the Dham, and to assist them to enter into Krishna consciousness is actually wonderful. But saying here, it's what can you say to other, you know, that, when you're here, you think, why live any other place? It's just so sweet. It's just so surcharged. But it gives you that mood of seva bhav, that a perspective of, you know, if you see things through selfishness and you see things through selflessness, you see two different things completely. If you see it through selfishness, you see objects generally as separated from God and meant for yourself. When you see it through service, you see objects connected with God. And therefore you see God, you see the divine. That mood of looking at it in our own consciousness, it's a real like challenge, and that's what spiritual life is. Is to change the conception, to see things in relationship to the desires of God and others. We tend to look at things selfishly and therefore want to control things so they move according to our desires and senses rather than for the pleasure of God and others. So when you have that mood of seva bhav, and you see the forms of Radha and Krishna even intimately, you relate the intensity to the intensity of selflessness and service rather than the intensity of selfishness and enjoyment. So we have to really, and therefore there are warnings. I can't recommend the book high enough, Following the Angels by Srila Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhamar. Actually, it's another book someone read. It was called Golden Volcano. He was saying that the reason why the acharyas, they approach these things cautiously, is because if you approach them prematurely, you can project your mundane sentiments, your mundane conceptions on the pastimes, which will be an impediment from the full revelation of them when you become fully qualified to enter into them. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us everything from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to the Krishna book, and he also gave us hope that if these pastimes are presented expertly and couched in the right philosophy and understanding, we can appreciate and understand them without misconceptions. That being said, I can't wait to get to this wonderful story. As you remember, and I'm assuming that the audience has been following along, I don't have to go back so far, but Krishna came, was awakened from his deep and serious separation from the residence of Vrindavan by being taken to another Vrindavan, the replica of Vrindavan, where in his unconscious states of separation, thinking he's in Vrindavan, although he's only in a facsimile of Vrindavan, he awakens to the fact that actually he's in Dwarka, and he's the king of Dwarka, and he has responsibilities and duties there. But when he was in Nava Vrindavan and he was relating to the facsimile of Srimati Radharani, the statue of Radharani, as if it was Radharani, he opened his heart and expressed his beauty to an unprecedented degree, to an extent that the queens of Dwarka had never seen before, who were hiding behind the trees watching this. And they went into a state of ecstasy because they have true love and they have no envy. True love is your happiness, is the happiness of your beloved. And when they saw the happiness and the consequent beauty of their husband Krishna, when he opened his heart fully in relationship to the gopis, they became overwhelmed with an unprecedented ecstasy. And when Krishna came back to the palace, all the queens greeted him except Satyabhama. And then Krishna wanted to know why. And Uddhava begins to explain why Satyabhama is not there. That Padmavati, kind of the cruel, evil-minded mother of Kamsa, who also saw that. Just looked at all the queens and said, you're wretched and you're fallen and you should just pray that you can be a servant of these gopis and give up your pride and just undergo penance and become a servant of these gopis, because their level of love and devotion for Krishna just puts yours to shame. So, because of the non-enviousness of the devotees, rather than becoming insulted, Devaki, Krishna's mother in Dwarka, in Mathura, just says, well, you're right. I'm not going to get upset about that. You're right, it does put us to shame, because I can see that the love of Nanda and Yasoda in Vrindavan is a expression of motherly love that we can only hope to attain one day. And then Rukmini says, yes, it's a fact. Our love is checked by so much formality. Although we have a conjugal and intimate relationship with Krishna, because he is our husband, he is our superior, he is the king, our love is restricted by so many duties, formalities, and obligations. But the love of the gopis, that has no such restriction. And we should not envy that exceptional love. Rather, we should glorify it. Because the gopis of Vraja enjoy the freedom of worshipping Krishna as their paramour, where the queens of Dwarka admit that they are limited to worshipping according to the principles of religious household life, subject to Vedic injunctions and social customs. So again, the love of the gopis is called kama rup. It's the form of lust, in the sense that that relationship is the most intense. But it's only a form. The bhav is service. The bhav is simply how Krishna can be pleased. It has nothing to do about their own personal desires. It's pure love. Let Krishna be pleased by my embraces. Ashlishyava paramadam panastumam adarshanam. He may make us, may crush us in his embrace. He may make us brokenhearted by not appearing before us. And he's our worshipable Lord. He is so good. He is so wonderful that any connection with Krishna is worth it. Even to become his servant, even to become his slave. He's so lovable. He's so attractive. That even a connection as a slave who does whatever he wants to us at his whim, it is worth it to have that connection with God. And that's actually how devotion actually manifests. You come to a point that it's not about you. It's about the connection to Krishna. It's not about, why did God do this to me? Why did God not allow me to be the enjoyer and controller? I don't care about being the enjoyer and controller. I just want to be connected to Krishna. And if that means calamities, if that means distress, Vipada Shantu Tashashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Karu, let those calamities happen again and again. Because if I have your darshan, if you're here because, if you're close because of those calamities, then let the calamities happen again. I pray for the calamities. So bhakti comes to that level, that where one realizes something about the sweetness of the absolute reality, and any connection, even if not treated properly, supposedly, any connection is worth it. So these gopis, their love is just pure. It's all about Krishna. Their Krishna. So Uddhava explains that all the queens arrive and only Satyabhama, Satyajiti, is unable to tolerate these words, and she enters her chamber of anger. So now, of course, if you go back to the very beginning, this whole story is spoken by Maharaj Prickett. He is cursed to die in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. He just constantly heard Krishna Katha. And the reason he was cursed is because when he was hunting and he was thirsty and he asked the sage for water, the sage didn't respond because he's meditating. And due to his thirst, Jayato Vishyam Pumsa Sango Sangayate Jayato Vishyam Pumsa Sangat Sanjayate Kama Krodha. From attachment comes frustration and anger and then bewilderment. If you have strong desires that are unfulfilled, it leads to anger. And what anger does is anger brings the mind into the mode of ignorance. And the light of consciousness in the soul is blocked by the condition of the mind, and one does not see things properly, either sensually or morally. So Parikshit in a lila, he takes his bow and he picks up a dead snake and he puts it on the king, on the sage, and then the sage's son, who had the tamedness of a Brahmin but not the maturity, so therefore he abused power and cursed Maharaj Prickett to die in 7 days. But after hearing Krishna Katha, the satisfaction of a connection with Krishna, he lost all hunger, all thirst. He didn't eat or drink for 7 days. I have a friend. He's been preparing to go preach in the West for 15 years. And now he's at the final stage where he gave up all his money and is just wandering around India learning dependence on God. It's a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. After mastering Sanskrit, Bengali, Hindi, astrology, Sangeet, music, the Bhagavatam. Just now, final stage, he's getting prepared to go back. He's from Central America. The final stage, gave up all his money and is just wandering through India just to learn dependence on God. He prepared himself 15 years for preaching. While I was in my travels, met another friend in Maya who was kind of like a forest sage. And somehow he's riding by on his bicycle and he stopped me. And I just asked him, because I knew he was a friend, did you see this person? He said he was just here. For 40 days, he just drank Ganga water and chanted the holy name. So Maharaj Prickett is in the, he's speaking this. So when he finished the Bhagavatam, his mother came and implored him to summarize it. So this is summarizing it. So now Maharaj Prickett said, Uddhava, Maharaj Prickett, there's a story within a story within a story. So Prickett is describing this to his mother. And he said, the blessed Lord of my life, Srimad Gopi Jana, the blessed Lord of the life of the gopis, Srimad Gopi Jana Prana. Gopi Jana Prana. The Lord Nata. Gopi Jana Prananata, the Krodham, orderly, angered, anger, bring here at once that daughter of the foolish king. Because Satyabhama is the daughter of Satyajit, who was implicated in this scandal that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam of stealing the Shanyantaka jewel. So now, Krishna's a little bit angry that Satyabhama hasn't come. Satyabhama, most expert in the art of amorous love, was always ready to skillfully serve her husband in the mood of his pride. Knowing him also to be fully conversant with the skills of love and eager to enjoy with the cowherd women. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it gives a complete science of rasa, of devotion. And devotion means in relationship. So you can have a relationship with God and want to please Him in a particular bhava or mood. And each of these relationships is described in full. In terms of what bhavas create that mood to perfection. And one of the things that creates it is called vibhav, the basis of it. Vibhav alambam and vibhav, vibhav Ashraya and Vibhav Vishaya, there must be, that's Alambam. The cause, the basic cause must be, there must be a devotee, and there must be Krishna as the object of that particular love, which is usually a particular age. The object of parental love is Kumar, 1 to 5, the object of friendship is 6 to 10. The object of conjugal love is 11 to 16. Krishna is Kishore. And then there must be a devotee. This is rasa. There must be a devotee in that particular relationship. So for the parents, parentally, it's Krishna as the object, and the subject is the parents and there's so many different types. And similarly, in the conjugal relationship, there's so many different types of lovers. So here in Dwarka, Satyabhama, there's Midu, there's Pagoba, there's Pakara, there's light, there's heavy, there's middling, there's submissive lover, there's again, it can be confusing because our experience of this is only mundane. But this is actually a manifestation of the purest love. And it's reflected here, sometimes pervertedly reflected here. But it's such a rich understanding of a spiritual reality, which is just swimming in rasa, in perfect relationships of selfless love expressed in different forms. So here, the subject of the love, the queens, so Rukmini, who spoke previously, she's that submissive love. But here, this is the jealous love of Satyabhama. And somehow or other, it's inherent in her nature, but the core mood that forms it is still a selfless type of love. Upon hearing this order from her maidservants, the intelligent Satyabhama got up, bathed, and quickly came before Krishna. She hid herself behind a pillar and stood there filled with shame and fear. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke to her in a clear voice. I don't have time, but these purports are pretty revelatory. Satyabhama is Sri Krishna's very dear wife and would never act in such a way to disturb his mind. She makes a show of petulance because she knows what gives Krishna pleasure. She knows what gives Krishna pleasure. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke up in a clear voice. The Supreme Lord said, "O weak-minded Satyajiti, just as you grew angry when Rukmini obtained special favors like the Parijata flower, now you are angry at our intense love for the people of Raja. Silly woman, don't you know that I am ruled by their desires?" Here now comes the essence of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because this story leads now to Krishna explaining to Satyabhama why he has such intense love for the residents of Vrindavan. We'll probably get to that next class, and he's going to explain, of course, the Pariyama, he can't repay the love. It's just too forceful. And the only way he can pay that love and reciprocate with them is open his heart to the greatest degree. And their state of love, which is an emotion to please, is so heightened that Krishna can't even go back, because they'll fear that he may leave and go in deepest separation. There's many things going to explain that the love of the gopis exists on two planes, which are actually simultaneously manifest. Externally he's with them, and internally he's with them at the same time. And internally is no different than externally. So even if he's separated from them, internally they're with him, and that actually is a manifest reality. That's about all I have time for today, because we have to go to meet Bori John and go over to get the very wonderful association of a great soul, our godbrother, Parthasarthi Goswami. But I do have time for a question if anybody would like to ask.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Kunal, Hare Krishna. You feel sorry for Satya Bhama again?
It's really difficult to hear that story. You know,
what?
Because, I don't know, it's just, you know, anger just always feels like the absence of love. But anyway, I do have a question.
I want to say, which is specifically why it's hard to hear these things before we have sufficient experience, because we project our mundane experience on them, which hinders us to a certain degree from understanding them. But what's your question?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that that's the reason. It doesn't, you know, it's just, I feel like it's almost not good for me to hear the story at my stage.
I'm wondering, Gail, I'm wondering. Anyway, bear with me. We'll be through it. But it'll get very sweet, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just because I missed a word that you said. You said that Sringi, or, you know, the son of Shankarishi, he had something of a Brahmin, but not the maturity. What was the something he had?
He had the tejas, the power of a Brahmin.
Oh.
But not the maturity.
Okay.
And this is actually a tremendous problem. When people have power and not maturity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because then the power is misused. And that's the example of the misuse of power. Because as a Brahmin, if he had the right culture of a Brahmin, he would have been tolerant. But immediately he lost his anger and cursed this great king to die. And because he was such a great king, even though he could have counteracted it, for many reasons he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you, Gail, for speaking up, because, you know, when I travel, and I went out to Govardhan, it's a little bit more rural than Vrindavan. But, you know, I never can tell with the phone connection. And, you know, my greatest nightmare is what happened a few weeks ago.
I know.
It happened it happened, I think it happened twice, maybe. It happened in Puri. I was exhausted, but I still gave the class. And then, what? You know, hello? Would someone like to say hello?
Yeah.
So, it's good, but okay, thank you. Would anybody else like to say hello? I always like to hear from my friends there. And well-wishers and students, whatever you want. Anybody else like to say hello?
Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow, always nice to hear faithful listeners. Thank you. It's a beautiful story by the mercy of Gopi Pranadana Jai Dwaitamarj and Keshava Bharti. How they presented it so clearly. I do believe when Keshava Bharti said it's a descent of mercy that this book was presented. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Low. Thank you. It's wonderful. Hope I see you when I get back to the West sometime. Maybe come out there sometime. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Henry, Hare Bo.
Beautiful class, really moving.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think it's the mercy of Govardhan here. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajraja Devadasi.
Okay, we'll see you on the 12th at Gopi Shores. Great. Thank you. Some more people? and not everybody can unlock and different phones. Okay, anyway, I do have to get going. Meet Voyage on Prabhu, so we'll see you all. Okay, Hare Krishna, Vamsakopa, Tugas, Jataka, Sindhu, Devachar, Patitanam.